I'd like you to look at the front of your bulletin this morning, if you would, please. First John chapter 2, verse 1, we read these words. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 39, we read these words. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Our advocate is on his knees in our text in the 17th chapter of John, praying unto the Father for those that the Father hath given him. He says so in chapter or verse 10 of John chapter 17. That's our text for one more message. In verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, if I was going to have a subtitle to today's message, it would be, We Are His. I don't know about you folks, but that just blows my mind in one way and raises my heart and spirit with joy in another. How can a God who is so holy he cannot even look upon sin call this one standing before you his? How can my Lord say this one's mine? How can the creator of all it is say, mine are sitting here today? Because of his works. The very works that we've been talking about for the last two Sundays. Turn, if you will, to the 17th chapter of John and allow me to recap what we've already considered in our two previous messages from this text. Our first look of our Lord's declaration where he says, I have finished the work that thou gavest to me to do in verse 4 of John chapter 17. We considered who it was that finished the work. It was God Almighty in the flesh. The very one who placed you and I in the womb of our mothers. The very one who took every star that we see out at night. And I know some of us haven't been able to see much in stars lately with all the fires. But last night, I was outside enjoying a beautiful evening and all the stars lit. You know, when Kathy and I first moved up here 2.5 years ago, the very first thing that we just fell in love with about this little place here in the woods is the stars are so bright. This little valley that we live in here blocks out all that, what do they call that, light. Light pollution. That was where I couldn't find the word pollution. Thank you, Mike. Light pollution. This little valley blocks all that out. That big hill over here on the side, and so it's just dark as can be, and the stars are shining. And as I was sitting out there last night, I'm thinking to myself, look what the Lord my God, the very one who has loved me from before the foundation of the world, look what he created. Look at those beautiful stars. I've shared this story with you before where Kathy and I were on our motorcycles in a place called the Ice Fields of Canada. Long ways up above Kamloops, Canada, long ways up above Calvary, Canada, there's an area where you can ride along for miles. And over in the distance, maybe 4 miles over in the distance, there's a sheer cliff wall that's got to be 10 miles, 20 miles long. And that wall that goes straight up and down, above that wall is a sheet of ice that's thousands of feet thick. I don't know how. I mean, it's so far. It's like I said, 3 or 4 miles away. But you can see it clear as a bell. And I looked. I said to Kathy, I said, "Look what our Lord has created. You can just see the beautiful, absolutely gorgeous colors in ice that had been there for thousands of years. The one who created every bit of that for our sakes, he created it so that Kathy and John would be on their motorcycles that day and notice the beauty of his creation." We killed a snake out here yesterday. Small little one, but a little over a foot long rattlesnake, diamondback. That snake was put there. It was put there by my Savior. "Sorry, Lord, but I don't like snakes." Yes, I did kill it. He's got more.
Good for you. Praise the Lord.
You get my point? This one who created everything, who in the beginning was God, and in the beginning was with God, he was made flesh. He was manifest in the flesh for our sakes. He's the one on his knees crying out to the Lord, "This one is mine. That one is mine. I shed my blood on the cross for this one. Oh, how I wished I could grasp the depth of what that means for me. My little brain can't wrap itself around the depth of love that my God has for me. But I know he does. He says in his word, and because of his Holy Spirit giving this poor dead soul life, I believe his word. I don't understand a lot of it. But I understand a little. I see through a glass darkly that my Creator has loved me from before the world was, and because of that, he gave himself for me. Do you see the truth? Do you see the truth of God's love for his people? Our first look at our Lord's declaration was who it was that finished the work. It was the one who could not fail. The one who had determined. And because he had determined, it would be so. And then secondly, our next message was what this work the Lord, or in that secondly in that message, the Lord's, well, what this work the Lord of all creation was referring to, and he was referring to the work of salvation. Our Lord had not gone to the cross yet, but he looked to that next day when he would, and knew that he would go there. He had been telling his disciples for days, "I shall have to go up to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the Pharisees and die on the cross and be raised the third day." God the Father saw that all the way back before those stars were ever created. He was known even back then as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When John saw the visions that God gave him in Revelation, he saw the Lamb slain as though it was slain before the foundation of the world forever back before. The great covenant between the three in one was that God the Father would give God the Son a people, a sinful people, a people who rebelled against God the Father. But for those people to be with God Almighty for eternity, they had to be redeemed. Their sins had to be paid for. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And by his love, he knew that our blood could not accomplish a thing, being tainted with the sin of our flesh. So he provided himself our sacrifice. This was all determined before anything was ever created. It was determined that the Spirit would go about as a wind throughout all time, calling those who belong to the Lord, calling all of them that the Father hath given to the Son. And then we closed last week with a closer look into verse, or that first message with a closer look into verses 5 through 8. And then last Sunday, we considered the peace and the assurance of knowing who it was that did this work and understanding that His ability to accomplish His desire, bringing His people into a rest, a perfect rest, found only in Him. Now today we want to continue with our theme of a finished work. I believe this will be my last message from this text. Look again with me, if you would, at verses 9 and 10 of John chapter 17. Our Lord says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me. For they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Our Savior, the very one who looks upon this whole work of salvation as a done deal, an accomplished work, has begun His work as our mediator, our high priest. What was the job of the high priest? You recall the high priest was to take a sacrifice of blood, and he was supposed to go into the holiest of holies in the temple. Nobody else could go in there but him. And he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the golden mercy seat. Our Lord went into the holiest of holies and sprinkled His own blood on the mercy seat, a picture of Himself. Our Savior, the very one who looks upon all this salvation, knew that this was an accomplished work. He had begun now in this prayer as our mediator. Salvation is a sure thing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says, tomorrow will come, and the Lord will suffer and die at the hands of the righteous religionists who by their nature would not even come to Christ that they could be saved. But today He prays for His people. Today He cries out to the Father for our sakes. He says, all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. God's people give the Lord all the glory. That's how we glorify Him. I am His and He is mine. Folks, does Romans 8:31 ring a bell to your heart? When you think of the words that we read where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Does it have meaning to your heart? Well, if so, then these next words of our Savior should cause our hearts to burn. To burn as the two men on the road to Emmaus did when the Lord expounded from the Old Testament all the words concerning Himself. Listen to these words in verse 11 of chapter 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We're talking about sanctification, being made holy. When our Lord was made sin, all of His chosen people, those who were living, those who had lived before, and those who shall yet live on this earth, all that the Father hath given the Son were made holy in Him. They are the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in anything that we could do, not in anything that we could do as far as coming down to the front of the building here, getting on our hands and knees and praying, any of those kinds of things. It must be a perfect righteousness, and only Jesus Christ is the perfect man who ever walked this earth. Mark your text here in John chapter 17 and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 if you would, please. Our captain, our mediator, our go-between. He who goes between His people on this earth and heaven declares to you and I, He says, I have prayed for you that you would be of one faith. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, yet they have one mind. They are of one mind, perfect harmony. And our Lord is saying back there in verse 11 that, Father, that they would be as you and I are. One. Of one mind. Look with me at chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearance, one for one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of the peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I pray for you, our Lord says. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and allow me to read from Philippians chapter 2 if you would. In Philippians chapter 2 verses 1, we begin reading, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, writes Paul, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, look with me, if you would, beginning at verse 18 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18, we read, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ and from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Continuing in verse 3, chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, and he lists these things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now, we're talking about being one with the Lord God Almighty and the Son, the Lord Jesus. Listen to these words. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, and such and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, wherewith there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. For above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. In Revelation chapter 14, the Apostle John writes in a vision, 144,000 who sing a new song. We sang that song a moment ago. Make sure I get the right one. I am His and He is mine. This 144,000 sing the song that God Almighty has a people. They sing the song of redemption, that those people are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They sing a song of truth, a song of God and His everlasting love for those His Son would redeem with His own blood. A song of redeeming love, a love that can never be severed. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:38 through 39. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're talking about the one crying out and praying to the Father to keep you and I. Have you had does the question go through your mind right now? How am I kept? How am I kept, Lord? I see myself going through the world. I see my stumble. David, a man after God's own heart, wrote, "My sin is ever before me." How am I kept? You're looking at the wrong thing. You're not kept by anything you do in yourself. We are kept by our Lord and Savior, by what He has done, the finished work on the cross, the very finished work that He writ, that He declares before His Father, "I have finished the work that Thou hast given me." Folks, this finished work the Lord Jesus declared is the new song that we sing. We sing praises to our Lord. We give Him all the glory. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, where it says that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Go back to our text in John chapter 17 and look again with me at verse 11. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Our Savior would soon die and depart from this world in which He had walked for over 30 years. It's an unfriendly, hostile, difficult world of sin and unbelief. Can you imagine the one of all truth walking amongst the wickedness that is in the world? Oh. If you read Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3 at your own time, you'll see what you'll see the wickedness of the world. John 15, 18 through 19 reveals the same things, and we see it again in 1 John chapter 5. Yet while the Lord would go through, while He would go to the Father, entering within the veil as our forerunner, our high priest, the high priest of Melchizedek, and sit down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, His disciples would remain in this world to preach that very gospel. To be exposed to evil, temptation, and hardships, just as you and I are exposed to evils and temptations and hardships in our lives. His prayer is that the Father would protect and guard us, hedge us about with His hands, keep us faithful to the gospel and in unity with Him, with one another. That these believers, you and I, may be one in love, one in purpose, one in message, and someday one in a greater way than we can know or even imagine. Turn to look at verses 20 through 26 with me of this very same chapter. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Now some may say he's only talking about the apostles here. People see you and I how we walk through this world, folks. They see a difference in us than they see in most religions around. We give all the glory to our Savior for everything. People see that. People react to that. Someone someday, if they haven't already, is going to come to you and say, "How can you have so much hope with all that stuff that's going on in Afghanistan, with all that stuff that's going on down there in the white building down there in downtown Sacramento? How can you have so much hope? I just want to throw my hands up and quit and move. Why are you so happy?" Because our Lord rules it all. God the Father keeping you and I keeps us on that path. Keeps us on the path of looking to our Savior. Keeps us on the path of remembering. And sometimes we have to stumble when we see the flesh so that we would look to the one who will help us pass the stumble. But we keep looking to Him. That's the work of God the Father keeping you and I. Neither pray I for them alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, says our Lord and Savior, O righteous Father, says the Son of Almighty, our Creator, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen.